Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Chris Coburn, Chief Innovation Officer of Mass General Brigham in Boston. Chris leads a 150-person team that focuses on innovation and commercialization. His unit is responsible for business development, investing, company creation, and more. The commercialization revenue exceeds $230 million, and more than 300 companies have been spun off from Mass General Brigham in the past 10 years. Chris, could you tell us a little bit about your background and introduce yourself briefly?
Sure, Laura, and thank you again for having me. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer for Mass General Brigham. We're one of the largest and oldest healthcare systems in the United States. We're also the largest academic research enterprise in the industry. We have about 6,000 Harvard-appointed faculty, and they conduct about $2 billion a year in research.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for being here. I want to start off our conversation by asking you, what did innovation look like during the early days of the pandemic, and what is your team working on right now?
Yeah, and I think regarding this first question, the early days of the pandemic, I think the thing to stress is our clinical and research teams were fully deployed really almost 2 months prior to the onset of lockdown. So they were working 24/7 in anticipation of the arrival of the coronavirus. So when we talk about innovation, it was born out of this period of intense focus and preparation, becoming ready for what was something that had the potential to overwhelm systems of government, of healthcare delivery and the like. Thankfully it didn't, but nonetheless, that urgency, that hyper attention was in place for weeks prior, and consequently lots of innovations in the delivery of care, on the technology end, on the staffing end, were conceived and implemented in a very short time. Many of those built around electronic systems, digital care, telehealth and the like. And as you've reported on, increases for us were 1,000-fold or greater within a matter of just a couple weeks.
Got it. So there's definitely a lot going on there. Is there anything you're working on right now on the innovation side that you're really excited about?
Yeah, given our size, there's always a breadth of technologies, you know, that have immense promise. So just to touch on a few of those, on the gene therapy end, we just announced a large deal with Biogen that has the potential to treat blindness. We also have one of the leaders, the global leaders on gene editing. A pathologist named Keith Young, MD, PhD, who has just been a leader from the outset there. And his work is finding ever more clinical areas of application, but also, interestingly, now in agriculture as well. So a lot going on there. And then going across the spectrum into the world of artificial intelligence and machine learning, we continue to have a lot of path-breaking technology on the diagnostic end in fields like radiology and pathology. So quite a bit of excitement there as well.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I want to know, looking ahead over the next 6 to 12 months, what are the biggest challenges that you anticipate moving forward, especially with some of your strategic goals and initiatives?
Well, I think the thing to stress is we were in a great place at the beginning of this year, in the sense of we have a new CEO, Dr. Ann Klebanski, working with our board and our senior leadership. She was implementing a very broad strategic approach for the whole system, some things that had never been done before, and setting priorities in a way that, you know, I personally think was going to position us in a very strong way going into the future. The arrival of COVID upended a lot of that. Interestingly, strategic priorities set in just the recent past greatly prepared us in terms of our ability to respond to our enterprise data and digital health initiative, which was a $500 million investment to enhance our digital patient-facing capabilities. That was launched essentially the middle of last year, and thankfully that created a platform that then many of our initiatives to respond and get in front of COVID came through that platform. So on one hand, that was that strategic preparation paid off enormously. On the other hand, if you talk about where we're at, we, like a lot of systems, took some very serious, had to respond to very serious shortfalls in revenue, and we're still working our way through that. At one time, there was a concern that we would lose $2 billion this year, and for a nonprofit entity to lose that kind of money, it just has enormous repercussions. You know, our clinical and research teams have been back online, and the system is returning close to the state it was pre-COVID. So that's all very positive. But relative to implementing new innovation initiatives, we still have to get back to financial equilibrium. And then look at some of the new things that we have been pursuing.
Got it. That makes sense. Could you tell me a little bit about how your investment strategies have changed amid the pandemic as well?
Well, interestingly, if you look at the venture and public markets around the support of new therapeutic technology, they remain very strong. There's been financings, public offerings, some even involving technologies coming out of our hospitals. So again, when we think about new technology breaking through, new drugs, even new digital solutions, the investment capital has been there. So application of innovation has been unabated during this crisis. So again, the areas like CAR T, just to pick one, in terms of immune oncology and cell therapy, an area we have great strength in, industry and the academic community have continued to work that full throttle over the last the last many months of the pandemic. So that's a category that we expect to see a lot happening in. In terms of kind of responding to the pandemic, on the therapeutic side, some of the technologies that have been developed or were under development actually have applications, some in areas like chronic cough that would appear to provide real potential in terms of the ability to help patients. And then so many digital technologies, many of them in place before, but that have been enhanced and in a sense reprioritized, both on the provider world, but also on the patient side. As patients become more comfortable and the technology becomes more intuitive to them. And so the big, thinking about the future is, we've been at a peak level over the last several months in terms of the use of telehealth. That'll subside a bit, but I think folks across the industry believe it'll still remain a core component of future care, where in the past it'd been more of an incidental one.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. And now, when you're looking into the future, what types of partnerships do you think have the biggest impact on the health system and its ability to care for patients?
Well, the biggest and most overriding partnership of all is between us and our patients. So that teamwork, that collaboration between clinician, between physician, nurse, and other care providers and the patient themselves is at the core of everything we do. So when you think about partnerships, it's always around that. And then thinking about it on an organizational standpoint, you know, we have breakthrough collaborations with cutting edge companies like Bayer, Bayer, as they're known outside of the US, where they're working on a team from Brigham and Women's, MGH, are working with some really visionary folks at Bayer around new therapies for COPD. Again, a very timely topic in this era of COVID. So we're excited about that. We have a very broad scale collaboration with GE around AI, and that's been in place now for several years. And technologies that we've been jointly developing with them are now coming to the benefit of patients. So those are just two examples. We have more with companies like Canon, Sanofi, Pfizer, others that all of them are developing either new therapies or new devices. And then we have ones that we are just putting into place now. So I would say, you know, that broad category, lots of excitement, lots of new capability. And then I would say also finally, in terms of the venture community, you know, the model has evolved a bit, especially in Boston, where you see leading venture funds like Atlas or Polaris or Flagship, where they are so focused on the earliest stages of discovery and initial application. That creates ever more opportunity for collaboration between us and them. And important to say, we have our own very successful venture fund, previously known as Partners Innovation Fund. Now we've renamed it the Mass General Brigham Ventures. And we are in the process of launching our new fund. It'll be quite a bit larger than the $170 million fund we currently have today. And we expect the same sterling performance in this new fund that we've had historically, where we our team has been in the upper quartile of all healthcare venture funds of their vintage. So, you know, an exciting time and many new modes of partnering, and we're excited about all of them. And especially about our new fund, which we think has such great promise.
Fantastic. Well, I have one more question before we wrap up here. Where do you think the best opportunities will be in healthcare innovation going forward for 2020 and beyond?
That's a, you know, obviously a question that could take in a lot. Just a quick response. I think infectious diseases, you know, particularly the coronavirus, will be getting outsized attention during the time of the pandemic and for the next few years afterwards. So, you know, whatever the category is, whether it's therapeutics, vaccines, diagnostics, there has been, you know, some of the most talented and best resourced people and organizations in the world are working that. And thankfully, many right here in Boston and some of them even on our team, one of the gene therapy leaders at Mass Eye and Ear in collaboration with MGH and Penn has launched a company that is one of the many developing a potential vaccine for COVID. Lots of reasons to be excited about that as an example. So again, by category, all things coronavirus will remain an area of great priority from an investment and a technology development standpoint. In parallel to that, gene and cell therapy, after, you know, more than a quarter century of active work throughout industry and academia, you know, has now finally reached the threshold of actual patient care. And you see disease after disease yielding to these new technologies. And an interesting thing to note there, in some cases, the model of the delivery of care the delivery of the therapy is shifting. And, you know, you can see settings where in a hospital, the research and the ultimate deployment, much of the what we would call manufacturing and the old model, is actually being done inside the four walls of hospitals. So, you know, that part of the industry is changing. And again, as you all have written about, you know, we are now in a position where we can talk about curing or largely ameliorating diseases that had been so lethal in the past. So, you know, that is will be an area of great activity over the next 3 to 5 years and on into the future. And then, you know, much of the focus of that has been on cancer, but it's going to broaden out into other inflammatory categories, whether it's diseases, autoimmune diseases, or neurologic as examples. There'll be a lot of activity, and that will occur very soon. And then finally, just in terms of broad categories, digital has now come of age, both from an investment standpoint, but also even from an M&A, some very large transactions just in the last few weeks. And again, the response to COVID shows the power of digital technology, but the ubiquity is now firmly rooted in the sense that hard to think of a category of care or research or even hospital administration that's not benefiting from new cutting edge digital technologies. So it's a very exciting time. Obviously, we're all focused on the coronavirus, but no one should think for a moment that, you know, the forward march of new therapies and new technologies has diminished. If anything, it's accelerated, and, you know, that juggernaut continues unabated.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to continuing our conversation in the future.
Well, thanks so much, Laura. Always happy to talk. It's a real pleasure to interact with you.